to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied. That adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Have a roll call, please.
Levi, here. Jewell.
Here.
Torres.
Here.
McDonald.
Here.
Valentine.
Here.
Okay. First up, we have correspondence.
Make a motion to receive and file the correspondence.
Second. Okay. Any other discussion on that?
Just thank him for his years of service.
I would take that as a motion after we're done here, though.
Oh, that's a motion?
To accept the resignation and thank him for his time.
Okay.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Make a motion to accept his resignation and thank him for his years of service.
Thank you. I second that.
Okay. And just for everybody, that is a resignation of Louis Sarita, who is the chairperson of our Shade Tree Commission. Any discussion on that motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? We have our minutes. Let's do the February 21st regular and executive session minutes first.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on those? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Now the March 6th minutes.
Minutes.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on those minutes? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Abstain.
I abstain. Mr. Rice is not here for our council appearance, so we'll put him off for a little while. At this point, I'd like to open up the audience portion of the meeting for remarks, petition, statement, and testimony from guests that's not on our agenda.
Judy Becher, 191 Broad Street. Scott, as a concerned citizen of the borough, I have a few questions regarding the response to Rick Feldman's request of last month regarding the process and hiring of a borough manager. We know that only council can appoint the manager, yet we have doubts of council's selection, okay? I do with the last three managers. Specifically, your comment is, well, Rick Feldman's comment was, why are citizens not in the search committee? Your response was, the law does not allow for citizens to be involved in the process. There is sensitive information that, if divulged, could be very harmful to the community financially. What statute was that?
That, off the top of my head, I don't know. That came in a letter from our attorney. She cited the Open Public Records Act and the Open Public Meeting Act.
Okay, I'd like to get that statute because I inquired myself and I can't find it anywhere. So it's illegal to have a non-voting citizen on the committee. Is that correct?
That is the way I took Ms. Copeland's letter.
Okay.
Hey, Rudy, just to clarify, was that a question from Rick Feldman or from the concerned citizens in Washington Borough?
Well, concerned citizens, Rick Feldman presented it.
Okay.
You all saw the response, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay.
You didn't?
The next question. Mm-hmm. Did you get a copy of the response?
I didn't. It was an email format, correct?
No.
That was so from the lawyer or?
No, from Scott.
No.
No.
Would you like a copy?
Yeah,
for
sure. Yeah, for sure.
You need a copy, Scott?
No, sir.
Okay.
You getting that, sir?
Yes.
Thanks.
Okay.
I know you said you were responding, so thank you.
Okay, so we don't know what the statute is at this time.
No, sir.
To get back to me. In the same letter statement, Rick asked, have you reached out to people with recruitment experience? Your response was, you stated that the process was designed with the help of a citizen with human resource experience. They have offered their assistance again if needed. Well, previously, I challenged you, stated on your, I believe it's fourth comment, response, that you can't have a council citizen involved in the process. Yet now you said that you did in the last one.
They were not involved in any way in the interviews or anything. They were used as a consultant in order to help us, help guide us through the process that a human resources professional would go through in order to hire somebody.
Well, we have a person that has human resource experience, okay, on the Concerned Citizens Group that would be more than willing, I think, if asked to participate and assist in the selection of a manager, getting it down to the nitty-gritties of you folks making the choice. So you didn't break the law then and having that other person work in the process, yet you say that we can't be involved in the process because it's against the law.
Can't be involved in the interviewing process. You cannot know the confidential information from the people who are submitting resumes. Now, Ms. Copeland, since you're here, we were discussing a little bit of your document to us stating as to why the concerned citizens could not be involved in the interviewing process.
No, in the process of the selection.
Mr. Bashir was questioning what the statute was, and I didn't have your information in front of me, so I couldn't.
Let me see if I have that with me, Mayor, to give you the statutory cite, but I can tell you that it has to do with both the Open Public Records Act and the privacy under that, and privacy under the Open Public Meetings Act. And there are responsibilities and statutory duties that are incumbent upon the members of the Township Committee. They have to abide by municipal ethics laws, as well as they are sworn under oath to take certain actions. Those same controls are not in effect for otherwise citizen individuals that would be involved in any process, and that is part of the reason that people that have that are not under those statutory umbrella and ethical obligations cannot be involved in private information that could come out during interviews in this process.
Then you're saying that, well, in general, there can be no citizen on any process of hiring anybody to do anything for the borough.
I wouldn't say they couldn't do anything. I don't think that they can be involved in the interview selection process.
Yeah, can I interrupt one thing? It almost sounds like two different things. I think it was determined that council was going to use the selection process that they used the last time and the questions, etc., which is where they used that citizen's help before. That citizen was not, was that citizen involved in the interview?
Yes.
Right, so that's,
to the best of my knowledge.
So it's almost like two different things. We're not, so that because they already decided, that's why they wouldn't need the person that you're, like, saying to help with that process.
Okay.
But the actual interviewing and selection, that individual cannot be a part of for the reasons that she just stated.
So is that, no citizen, non-council member, can be involved in any review process, interview process, for anybody working for the borough?
Again, I don't know if I can go along with your umbrella statement involved in any part of it. Might have to take a look at a particular part, but if there is a concern about privacy issues or personnel issues, which by statute are confidential matters, if there is the possibility of impacting on those areas, then no, they can't be involved.
What if a person was committed to those statutory requirements of confidentiality? That they would not divulge any information that they glean in out
I'm
of
not
the process.
Sure what you mean by committed to.
Meaning confidential
the
information.
The borough
dispensing.
Is only permitted to have people that are involved in the governing body to have access to certain information
right.
if it is
right.
You know, of a personnel privacy nature according to the statute.
Okay. Well then, hiring an auditor for the borough, okay, an outside auditor, and the selection of an outside auditor, would that involve just council members and exclude all citizens?
If you're talking about interviewing, first of all, I don't want to give you an answer off the top of my head. This is something that I had to research for council. And which I did do, and I provided them a memo in that regard. And it involved analysis of the statutes and the case law and Government Records Council decisions. So I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to give you an immediate answer if you're going to give me different situations.
Well, no, I'm going back. The borough hired a forensic auditor. Okay. I don't know how deeply involved this individual was, but can a citizen be on that committee for a selection of a...
Okay, and I guess I don't know what you're asking me. This isn't something that is... This is something that was done in the past, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know what was done in the past, and without looking at the particulars of the situation, I can't answer that for you going forward. Without looking at the particulars of that matter. From what you're telling me, however, if you're talking about an auditor, I'm assuming that this is pursuant to some sort of professional services agreement, which is a different situation than a borough employee.
Okay. So, you didn't break the law in your previous statement that you have somebody involved in a process yet. You're saying now in this process, having a citizen is illegal. I just didn't understand your terminology and your wording. Because you said one minute a citizen was involved in a process, and the next minute a citizen can't be involved in a process. So.
And I got here late, and my apologies to everybody. So I didn't hear the beginning of this discussion. But you have to look at the specifics of the matter again. When you say involved in the process, that's such a broad term.
That's correct.
I can't address that broad a term to tell you what is permissible under the statutes or what is not permissible.
Well,
I have to look at the specifics of the situation.
We didn't know a person was involved, a citizen was involved in the earlier process until the response came back from Mr. McDonald, and that's what I'm challenging, asking.
And I guess I still don't know what you mean by involved in what process.
Did you see his letter?
I don't know.
In the process of hiring a previous manager, there was a human resources professional who resides in the borough who said, I'll be happy to help you out in how to go about conducting a search. Because
okay.
Previously, the search had been done by a professional organization.
Yeah.
This individual...
Certainly allowing somebody to guide you as to the process.
Right. And there was a flow chart that was designed that was submitted to us. Now, this was before I came on council, and we found that document, and we are going through the same process again. The person who is the human resources representative, to the best of my knowledge, had no access to any resumes or questionnaires or any information as to who was applying or anything like that. It was just as a guidance thing to set us up to interview on our own.
Scott, you're saying you weren't involved in council at that time?
I was not.
I was.
You weren't here for Phelan's hiring?
I was here for his hiring, but not in the very beginning processes of it.
And he was hired in March?
Yes, sir.
You took office in January, correct?
Yes.
So for three months...
This was designed, I believe, for the hiring of Mr. Corica. Am I correct, Dave? Who was done where?
I didn't know we had a consultant, to be honest.
I just thought somebody...
The former council member's wife was the HR person, and she gave him a flow chart. This is what you did. And this is what we did.
And this was... When did this process start, Mr. Turner?
October?
November?
No, it was either late November, early December of 08. And all it was a set of guidelines. You know, to that extent of the involvement, that was it.
And that's the reason, Mr. Beshear, when you use the term involved in the process, I can't tell you what's permissible or what's not, because there are steps along the way that don't necessarily impact on whether or not there is protected information that would be available.
And the only other thing I can add to that is it didn't cost the borough a dime to do that process.
I'm not challenging the cost. I'm just challenging... Okay, stating that your response was the process was designed with the help of a citizen, okay? And yet you say
right,
that...
Right, they're using that same process again. That's all. The next step in the process is the actual interviewing and receiving the resumes, and that's why that citizen...
Right,
that's the part, and that's why the citizen can't get involved now.
That's fine. We recognize that, but... The wording, like I said, in his response was questionable. Because one minute it says you can't be involved in a process, the next minute a citizen was involved in a process. Which is it?
I can say this. The interview process, the phone interviews and the reviewing of the resumes was done by three of us. Or four of us. Yeah, there was four of us there, including the clerk. There wasn't any outside person involved in the interviews.
Right.
As far as the consulting goes?
I think it was just the usage of the framework of the process that was developed. And it's a common process.
I mean, we did use a number evaluation system, and we actually asked our own questions.
We were asked to come up with our own questions, and they asked the same questions.
The same people.
And then you always got follow-up questions, but it was
a pretty good
efficient system.
Was anybody paid?
There was no cost. I didn't get paid.
And you will never be paid.
Thank you, Mrs. Craig.
That's what I had, just questions regarding your response.
Mr. Beshear, do you want a second?
My name is John Mahoney. I'm a borough resident. I lived in the borough since 1985. I live in the Flower Avenue development. I bought the house in 1985. My understanding is that the development was actually built in the early 70s. I live on Taft Terrace, which was actually, from what I hear from neighbors who lived in the area when they built the development, was the model home street. They cut the street in. They put four models on the street, and then as they sold the properties up the mountain, the development progressed. I closed on the house in August of 1985. The following spring, I had a spring come up on the side of my house. When I bought the house, the previous owner had put internal French drains in the basement. I asked him why. He said, we had a flooding problem here. But this came with a lifetime guarantee, et cetera, et cetera. You won't have a problem. So the following spring, my poor concrete foundation was heaving. There was a pipe exiting my property and the property next to mine through the curb, discharging water into the gutter. My neighbor's was discharging more efficiently than mine. I had a pond on the side of my house, so I called Roto-Rooter. They came in, they broke a drill tip in about 20, 25 feet, and he said, I'm not going back in again. I had to bring engineers in, all right, and we ultimately put a French drain on the side of the property, which discharges water 25 feet onto the slope of my lawn short of the sidewalk, short of the curb. That solved my problem. My front yard's a little marshy, but it took the pressure off of the poured concrete foundation walls in the house.
Okay.
Probably 1986, 87, when that work was done. About 5 years, well, in 1995, the road department came in, and rather than paving the entire street, they put ribbons on the street, meaning they paved each side of the curb line out about 3 feet. When they did that, they created high spots on the natural flow of the water. So my water discharges my groundwater, by the way. This is not runoff or stormwater. This is groundwater from a high water table. Discharges out into the street and had been running efficiently down to the storm drain, probably 100 to 125 feet, until the ribbons went in. Now the ribbons went in, high spots were created, and water did not flow efficiently. Still flowed, but in the high spots it would back out into the street.
Is the road fairly level that you're talking about? Or, I mean,
there's maybe a 3 degrees,
to...
maybe a 3 degree pitch from Flower Avenue down to the curb on my street. Not much of a pitch. So, the long and the short of it was, I live with it. Okay? There's water, even in droughts. I could sell spring water. Okay? The problem is in the winter time. In the winter time, when the water doesn't flow efficiently down through the storm drain and backs its way around the high spots, ice forms. And in that ice forms and grows out into the street. About 6-7 years ago, Mr. Beshemer sent me a letter, and he indicated, and he was the code enforcement officer at that time, he indicated that I was in violation of a code. I asked him to come out and take a look at the situation. I asked him, which code? All right. Every code he showed me indicated that I was creating a hazard on my property. But my property is not the road. All right. The road is the borough's responsibility. And I had told him that it was my understanding. Oh, one more thing. When I dug the French well out with the contractor, we had to get clearances from the water company, the gas company, before you can dig. You have to bring the utilities out.
Right.
Everyone I brought out in 1986 and 87 said, oh, we remember this place. We couldn't get the trucks back here. So evidently, the property that I live on was at one point a marsh or a swamp. So my gut level told me, I'm not a lawyer, but I have legal background.
Okay.
My gut level told me that if the borough pretty much doubled its occupancy by building this huge development in the Flower Avenue, somebody had to do something to get clearances on that swamp condition. All right? So that's what I said to Mr. Beshemer. I said, listen, do your homework. Go back, check the plans, check the site approvals and everything else. If it is my responsibility, I'll rectify the problem. But if it's not my responsibility and the town signed off on this, then the hazard in the road is known to you. You either correct the problem by going into the street and tying me into, I'm no engineer, but people tell me that there is a French drain that runs along the curb line out into the sewers for white water, not brown water. All right. So, or you put more salt down on the ice. You know, I can't break into the street. And he agreed, and he said, well, I think I'll check back into it. If it's your problem, I will get back to you. If it's not your problem, I'll put a request into the road department, but I don't want to deceive you. You will hear there's no money in the budget. All right? So that was the last I heard until this January. This January, I got a letter from the new code enforcement citing a code violation. I looked up the violation. Again, it deals with creating a public nuisance on my property, which would attract vermin. All right? I told him what I had been through with Rudy. I asked him to look into Rudy's notes, because while Rudy's no longer here, I'm sure his files didn't leave with him. And there might be a history. And I also told him that I would get in touch with the road department. At his request, he gave me John Bird's name. I called John Bird, explained the same situation to him, and I'm in a bit of a catch-22. Because I'm hearing, well, you're putting water out onto the road and we don't want it. And I'm questioning, what violation am I in? Will you show me a code that deals with this specific situation? Or will you show me that the town did not, the borough did not sign off on this as a condition for the construction on a swamp? Just let me know. If it is my problem, I will look into the problem. I spoke to John. He gave me a couple things to do, which I won't get into here, but I found them questionable. All right? But I went through the process. I had a contractor come out. He told me what he wanted to do. He told me a lot of things that frankly smelled. All right? They smell of inappropriate steering of business. But anyway, again, it begged the issue. I said, but it's not my problem. Now, I'm in the process with Ms. Blanchard and Ms. Titus of resurrecting the original site plans. Frankly, I don't think it's my responsibility to go resurrect the original site plans. If somebody tells me that I'm in violation and I tell them, geez, I'm pretty sure you signed off on this. And then they were not responsive in getting back to me, as Mr. Beshemer 5-6 years ago, to tell me, no, it is your responsibility. I work under the assumption that I don't have a problem. I've got a wet curb. I've got ice that I have to chop every winter. But I don't have a legal problem, any responsibility to rectify this situation. I pointed that out to people. I am being pressed now, all right, to appear in court to be in violation. Now, I understand there's nothing you can do here about that, and I'll retain counsel for that. What I'm begging for is relief from the town engineer, the borough engineer, whoever can come out and take a look at that situation and rectify it. Because no matter where I channel the water on my property, it will run into the street. Even if I channel it across my complete lawn into the driveway, which I've been told won't be a problem because I'm not discharging through a pipe, all right, will not rectify the problem because the high spots are between my driveway at the end of my property and 40 feet down at the end of the next property where the storm drain is. So no matter what I do to channel the water away from that pipe, you're still going to get water in the street. You're still going to have buildup because the road was improperly graded when they put the ribbons in, and you're still going to have a problem. So I talk to people, I believe they're all of goodwill. But I get off the phone screaming Usarian because I cannot get an answer. Everybody does not want to take a look at the problem and see what the rectification is. Now, Mr. Besserba told me 5-6 years ago that the solution, the ideal solution, would be to break open the street, channel that pipe on a 45-degree angle down into whatever exists down there that runs down into the storm drain. All right? And I said, oh, I can do that? He said, oh, no, you can't touch the street. All right? I said, okay, well, then the road department will do it. He says, well, I'll put a request in, but frankly, there's no money in the budget.
Okay.
Don't hang by your thumbs on that one. All right? So, again, since 1985, when I closed on this house, there has been water in the street. Since 1995-96, there has been a backup of water in the street. It happens every year. If you go to my house right now, after 5 or 6 warm days without precipitation, there is water in the street.
There is. I'll vouch for it.
Right.
I sit on that street every day waiting for the bus.
Right. Now, during the year, it's a bit of an eyesore. I've got enough parking in my driveway to handle the kids' cars and everything else, so we're not out there walking through it. But in exceptionally hot weather, I don't gonna lie to you, I'll take the car out, wash it on the curb, and then put some bleach down to kill the algae and the fungus that grows there.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I don't look to the town to resolve that situation. When I had to take a couple of thousand dollars out of my pocket to rectify the spring problem, I didn't look to the town. But the contractor who's coming out and giving me numbers is giving me exorbitant numbers, and he's telling me that I will have to post bonds for a year to warrant his work in case the road department has problems with his work when he breaks open the street. And I refuse to do that. I refuse to do it.
Okay.
So long and the short of it, a neighbor of mine was supposed to be here. He's getting... Oh, okay. He's getting the same correspondence. I come before you to beg relief to have the engineer come out and take a look at it to see what can be done to rectify the problem. I can do nothing to rectify the problem. All right? And you're going to have a problem there one way or another. Now, I'm a common sense guy. Mm-hmm. You put a bump in the road that causes a backup, you come down, you grind it down. All right? But pardon my impatience, reason and logic sometimes are lost. All right?
Okay.
So the long and the short of it is, I would like a resolution.
Okay.
I've been told to beg the council to take a look and see if there's anything you can do to have one of your engineers come out, determine the nature of the problem, determine the ownership of the problem, and I'll continue to work with Ms. Blanchard to get the site plans. All right?
Okay.
Because I'll need them in court.
Do you have anything to add to that, Ms. Blanchard?
I don't. Exactly what you said is what's been going on. We spoke twice, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I am working with Pat to locate the site plans, but they are from 1995.
No. Pat came on in 95, so she's got good order from her entrance going forward.
Oh, 60s? Okay. So
my house, the house that was sold to me, and I believe I live in the model house, when I bought it in 1985, was warranted as 14 years old at that point. So you're talking early 70s. But they exist, and
right.
They don't exist in my possession, so there's nothing I can do about it. But more so, what exists is a problem.
They're probably on microfilm or something like that someplace.
I'll reach out to Pat again tomorrow morning.
I have a message from her that she did get something.
Okay.
She's not sure it's responsive to my request, and she pointed me to a form which I downloaded from your site, and I need to get that to you. So
right.
It's a public records form, all right? But that's
what. Anything that you'd like to add to that, from a legal standpoint, that you can see?
Well, I don't. Not having seen what the violation is, or talked to the code enforcement official, so I would say that should go through whatever process, wherever that stands right now. I think it's up to the council. It might be. I mean, certainly, I would say either the code enforcement official or the engineer would have. Possibly some input that they.
I've taken a liberty if I can approach. I did print off of the website. All right, the town now has the code on the website. The violation I'm being notified of, and it's under Chapter 59, nuisances and public health. It is not under any other previous chapters that deal with. Contractors, developers, and homeowners' responsibility for regulating and controlling the flow of groundwater. And there are sections within the code that deal with that. So when I called the second time to the current code enforcer, I told him, I said, listen, I've taken a look at this, and I'm not sure, all right, I'm not telling you're wrong, I'm telling you I think it's a stretch, all right, because this specifically says that I am in violation of the last section of this particular code, which is the catch-all section. Any act, matter, thing, or condition which may become detrimental or a menace to the health of inhabitants of the borough of Washington, or which or may become an annoyance or interfere with the comfort or general well-being of the inhabitants of the borough of Washington. All of these particular letters, this is letter J under 59, deal with your private property. So I am not creating garbage, a nuisance that's going to attract vermin or anything else on my private property. Matter of fact, if there is a hazard, and what Mr. Stone is telling me is to remedy directly the pipe under my sidewalk, which now runs into Taft Terrace, so it does not cause heavy puddling or on the street. A severe buildup of ice is imminent, causing a public hazard. When I last called Mr. Stone, I left him a message, not last, second to last, I left him a message indicating that I was on it. I had the contractor coming out Saturday. I had taken a look at the code. I thought it was a stretch. I was in the process of resurrecting the plan development approvals to see whether or not the developer signed on remediating this swampy condition, and the town agreed to have him drain onto the street. That was on a Wednesday. On Friday, I got a summons. When I asked why, I called and I said, geez, I'm afraid you may have acted on this before you got my message. I pretty much got an answer like, don't rock the boat. All right. So I've been in the township, or in the borough, since 1985. I'm a taxpaying citizen. And so I seek your relief. If it is your responsibility, I beg you, if determining it's your responsibility, I beg you to fix the problem. Because there is a hazard in the wintertime. That ice goes all the way.
If I can kind of short-circuit you a little bit, I just want to kind of make sure I have the problem right in my head. There's water that's draining from your property. It does not drain directly into the street through a pipe or anything. It just sort of comes off of your property through the French drain?
No. My property is on a grade. I'm on the base of the hill of Flower Avenue.
Okay.
All right? My property is on a grade. My specific lot is on a grade. There's probably 20-foot drop from the back end of my property line to the sidewalk.
Okay.
All right? Through the curb on the opposite side of the sidewalk, there is a perf pipe that was there when I bought the house. It's probably 3-4.5 inches in diameter. I know it goes back at least 10 feet from the curb because when Roto-Rooter came out to...
Okay. Yeah, that's
right, they snapped
that's
the diamond
they
tip. All right? But the water is percolating.
Okay.
All right?
The water gets into the road.
The water gets into the road.
And it can't get down to the storm sewer drain
It gets down. It does not get down efficiently. And in the wintertime, it freezes before it gets down.
Okay.
All right.
If I could just add to the background of the situation. Thank you, Mr. McDonald. It's important, the things that you said. And, you know, I just want to... Historically, though, from as I understand it, the Morris Canal passed right through what became later Gibson's Park.
Gibson.
And that particular area, specifically that street, was one of the streets that does have this high groundwater situation. As I understand it, this has been an ongoing problem in the borough since the first Gibson Park developers came, you know, before the planning board, back in the 1930s, whenever they did this, to try to get, you know, a development in that area. And it that's why it was done in stages and, you know, as technology grew. And then by the time they got up to your street in the 70s, I guess it was when
they cut that street. That street was not there. And
it was
presidential, right?
So at this time, it has this problem, which only points to a problem that the borough does have, and I think that we are probably going to be examining it in a different way, because you touch on a good point, and not to take anything away from the job that our code enforcement officer is doing, he's just following what our regulations are. However, there may be a little bit of over-enthusiasm on his part in interpreting the particular laws, as well as the fact that it's a problem where we need to re-examine our nuisance laws in general. And this is something that, you know, basically we have a committee set up. It's a, you know, code book review committee. And we will be looking into, you know, some changes in some of these laws. So you did bring up something besides for your particular personal problem. That's something that will benefit maybe the whole borough.
And I'll say in Mr. Stone's defense, when I first approached him on the first letter, he was very professional. He was very empathetic. He pointed me to the road department, all right? He said, listen, I'm just doing my job. And I can appreciate that, all right? the road department, again, they're doing their job. And I realize the economy's tight and budgets are tight and everything else like that. But I have felt all along that a responsibility that was not mine was being shifted onto me in a situation that I have no negligence in or even any responsibility for. So in trying to talk to people who have a job to do, I can understand their pressure, but I have not been obstructionistic in any way at all, and I have not been in any way at all disrespectful. But I think if you're going to quote me a citation and I ask you why, because it doesn't seem to be on point, if your response is to ticket me and then chastise me when I call in to determine whether you got my message or not, then that goes beyond the issue that's in front of us, all right? The issue in front of us is there's a problem, a long-standing problem, all right? I don't believe it's the homeowner's problem.
I would be willing to make a motion to have the engineer go out there and take a look at that area, with the understanding that it's not going to have any bearing on you going to court.
Oh, I understand that. I understand that completely.
And that we would, you know, we would have to accept what the engineer determined. You know, I don't have a problem with the engineer going out there and taking a look at it and reporting back to us. If it's our problem, then it's our problem.
Well, I'll second that, David.
Well, you put me down for a second, though, really.
Citizens aren't allowed to do that.
I'll second that. But I won't interview anybody who...
Okay, is there any council discussion on that?
And also with that motion, I would like, you know, Andrew's report, a copy of Andrew's report, to be sent for this meeting.
Okay.
And just for the record...
Are you okay with that, Mr. Torres?
Absolutely.
Okay.
My neighbor and I decided to come jointly, but he was not here when I stepped forward. So if a copy of a report is going to go out, these are contiguous properties, all right? I'll let Mr. Mello introduce himself so you can get him on the record.
Sure.
All right. Nick, thank you.
While he's coming up, all in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Thank you.
Mr. Mello, your name and address for the record, please.
Yeah. Michael Mello, 113 Taft Terrace, Washington, New Jersey.
Okay. And ditto?
Ditto, exactly. Okay. John and I have been back and forth talking about this issue, trying to, you know, who to talk to in the township to get it resolved or speak to the engineers. So I would have been here a few minutes earlier. Sorry about my tardiness.
That's all right. No problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll make it short and sweet.
Okay. If you would, sir, your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Alex Bacco. I have an office here in town, across from the bank. Now, the reason I'm here is in reference to the sewage. I know I got a high sewage bill, the one that's living in the building. I'm charged for two units, and I'm retired. I've been here almost 50 years, paying high taxes. I like to stay in this town, but it's unbearable. I can't afford it anymore.
What is it, a duplex situation you have, sir?
Well, my son lived upstairs and I was downstairs, but now I'm retired. And so it's two empty places. I don't use the water. And I understand the sewage is based on water.
If you can bring us a year's worth of water bills and... Well, let me back up a little bit. I assume you're getting charged for two EDUs for two separate units?
Right.
Okay, and if you have a year's worth of water bills that can show that you're only using the equivalent of one EDU?
That's right.
Then
not even that. I'm just...
If you can do that, we can reduce you from two EDUs to one EDU.
Well, I appreciate that very much because, you know, good people should stay in this town.
And we want you to stay in town.
And you got to help them a little bit.
Well, I'm hoping I gave you a solution there.
So I'm not taking up a lot of time. I know everybody else wants to do a little, say their piece, and I'm sorry to interrupt everybody here, but I apologize for that, but I thank you for your patience, and I thank you for your time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak during the audience portion?
Susan Sloan, 89 Grand Avenue. I'm back at the police. Not for, I'm not making any complaints. I don't, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Didn't work. But now we're paying over $2 million a year to the township. And when our borough, acting borough manager tries to get data, she can't. Therefore, either we have to rewrite the contract or figure out how we can be partners with the township. Right now, I just think we're getting the shaft. I really do. We can't. We're paying this money. It's like there are two entities. Here in the borough, it's, maybe we're a business. We have one in the township and we have a business in the borough. But for some reason, it seems to be going, the flow is going to the township and we're not getting data. Perhaps Mr. Phelan got data. I'd like to know how many speeding tickets are given out. I'd like to know how many off parking tickets. And this doesn't, I don't think these have to go to court.
The chief does submit those reports to us. They have been in our packets. I can't tell you that we get them every month off the top of my head.
Well,
we do get
okay.
Those type of reports.
All right. Mm-hmm. Maybe you get them. But what I hear around town is we don't, there's a difference, a perception around town of what the police used to do and what they're doing now. I'm not making that up. So therefore, we have to work with the township a lot better than what we've had. And I ask to rewrite the contract so that we're partners with them, not
this is one of the fine mic.
Okay.
I was in talking to acting manager this afternoon about this very
micro
issue. We asked for a particular set of numbers that we can, so that we can do our budget. Our CFO would be the last.
I've heard this meeting after meeting.
Okay. This was my suggestion, that we send them, and Christine, you can verify it or tell them we met online or whatever, but I was going to make a motion tonight. We have to introduce the budget tonight. We have to, by law. And in that budget is the police numbers that we have. Now, we can amend the budget later on, but my suggestion was, or the question actually was, to have the DCA get involved again if we can't get the numbers that we asked for, because when all this went down, we were kind of their poster child.
Yeah, yeah.
We were kind of the Department
of Community
Affairs.
Yeah, they're kicking us around for $2 million.
Well, we're asking for the numbers, and we did sign a contract. I'm sure Ms. Copen is well aware of the contract that we signed. But there are things in there that we want, specific items that we want. And if we can't get any relief from them, then what we're going to do is petition, or I would suggest that we would petition the Department of Community Affairs for their assistance to get what it is that we need, since they were a big player in this.
I knew the whole experiment of taking the police, putting them in the township, was an experiment. It hadn't been done very at all in New Jersey. I'm not sure about that. However, if this little project isn't working out the way we should, and our acting manager has to get on her hands and knees and face this data, it's not working. We should have a much better
communication
relationship. For $2 million, we're not talking 20 cents.
Right.
We're having to bully somebody, you know.
Absolutely.
And I've been in conversation with both Mayor Kovacs and former Mayor Albasoni about this. You know, the Mayor Kovacs in particular, I've dealt with, and he is committed that he will be fair with us.
But it's not the mayor's problem, Mayor.
Well,
it's a concern. I think that it's a budgetary concern, and I think that I addressed this the last time. I had asked for specific
yes.
expenditures and revenue reports, actuals, numbers, okay, so that we can base our budget on.
I understand. I'm just stating
okay.
that, you know, I spoke with Mayor Kovacs, and that's what he committed to me, that they want to do this fairly.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, however, we received correspondence from the person in the township that delivers to our, CFO, the figures and reported there'll be a delay until April. I mean, that's, you know, past our budget time, and I don't think that's right. And so I'm agreeing with Mrs. Sloan, and I agree with Dave Higgins, and I think that this idea is something that really should be looked at, and maybe we need to review our shared services agreement.
I'm not getting up here complaining that we have to get the cops back or anything. However, we're all adults with the township. Something's not right that we have to keep begging and begging and...
Especially when it's a quarter of our budget that we basically are devoting of our taxpayer money to this, you know,
we can see one town get reduced to $50,000.
So there's a big concern.
And I listened to when the township, I sat there, when, and that looked like a dog and pony show.
No paperwork followed besides.
Perfect.
Excuse me, Justin. I'm sorry, Mrs. Sloan.
When the township, when the manager or whoever it was, the CFO was new, okay, the guy says new, so...
When they were here, you're
they
talking?
They were here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It looked like a dog and pony show. Trust me. It was not very settling, or, oh, well, we have that pretty soon, and our guy is new. But this has been going on for 3 years now. We should be, this whole process should be a little more stable and a little more understanding between the department, I mean, the entities, let's call them entities, because that's what they are. That's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor, if I could make one comment in that regard?
Sure.
Ms. Blanchard did make me aware of the issue, and the only other possible suggestion that I would have to see if the information could be obtained any sooner was it may be possible to make it just through an open request.
Say what? Excuse me.
Make it through an Open Public Records Act request.
We've tried. There's two different types of information. We file open requests, but they'll give you their financial statements and their budget that, according to their CFO, is not a fully loaded number, because what it will say is police, other expenses, but it's not going to have utilities, it's not going to have mechanics, it's not going to have all those items that they like to load before they give us the number.
Okay.
So, because in OPRA, they only have to provide
what they have in the form that they have, correct.
What we're asking for is, what does it truly cost you to run the police department? And are we paying 50% of the cost? Are we paying 60% of the cost? Are we paying 40%? Because if we're paying less, then they're getting gypped, and I don't know why they are like to be in that position. But if they're paying 60, then I don't think it's fair to us.
I understand what you're saying, and I wasn't fully aware. Is there any documentation that you're aware of that could be requested that narrows it down in any way?
Not in the OPRA.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, what other legal action may be required in case, you know, that was, I mean,
well,
you can seek it in court, right?
From what I'm hearing, an OPRA request wouldn't be fruitful. I did take a quick look at the existing contract, and it certainly indicates that the borough is entitled to request additional information. I'm told that they have indicated that they're going to provide some information, but not in the timely way that the borough would like it, of course. The problem is the agreement doesn't actually address a time frame within which the information needs to be supplied.
Can we legally push them,
Well, that's agreements can always be renegotiated under certain terms, but you have to have both parties agree to any renegotiation.
Okay. Something has to be done.
It's the same subject. Andrew Turner, 300 Bellevue Avenue. I believe that the original contract stated that our manager had an active role in the budget of that particular shared service. So if you're being shut out, that's a problem. So you might want to look. And is this the original contract when we switched over? What was it, 09?
I will tell you what I have is a resolution from June 3rd, 2009, together with the interlocal services agreement that was I know there's a date here. Okay, went into effect in 2009.
No, I was off of council by then, and it's quite possible that the agreement changed, but while we were negotiating that agreement, the manager was to have an active role
or participation, you know, prior to budget being finalized, into how much we were paying. And that, they were supposed to be an active part of the negotiating process on a yearly basis. So, I don't know if Mr. Corbin's notes or anything around, I can look up my old notes, I don't know if they exist anymore.
But I believe the manager was involved in the budgetary process, and that there was very little we have control over except for the capital improvements. We can't say anything with regards to the union and salaries and such like that. And so he was involved. What we're actually looking for are their actuals.
Right, and that's part of that whole negotiating process. You're supposed to be on the with their mayor while their chief explains the budget. So
is there any Judy? Excuse me. Is there any
That's the way it was originally intended.
Oversight board or anything to review shared service agreements or. Referee,
well, the Division of
either
Local
way.
Government Services, Department of Community Affairs might,
yeah.
As
could we seek relief from them, possibly, or no? I mean, what do you suggest? What are our options? Lay out for us our possible legal options, just so we know.
Well, I guess, first of all, it's been indicated that the information is going to be provided. I don't know what your drop-dead dates are in terms of the receipt of that information.
We haven't given one, really, outside of the March 16th, was it? March 16th was
what we originally had.
We gave him, yes, March 16th. Our next meeting is April 3rd. The following meeting is April 17th, and that is the adoption of the budget. So if you want the information prior to adoption, the April 3rd meeting is your meeting.
That's the ultimate last possible date. So we need it before that, and hopefully...
It's like our backs are against the wall here, you know?
Yeah, well, it's true. But unfortunately, we shouldn't be in this situation with... entity that is basically using up a quarter of our municipal budget, and so that's the big deal, and it is a big deal.
Anyone else from the audience?
Well, that's why I think that we give them that information, and if they can't provide it by the 3rd, then there needs to be a letter sent to the DCA saying, listen, you know, we went into this with you as a partner, and now we seek your help as a partner in getting the information that we need. And listen, agreements can always be litigated, right?
Well, certainly. However, I have to tell you that the agreement does provide as to termination that it may be terminated for any reason with a one-year notice.
Right.
1 year.
But it can be litigated.
And there are also... Actually, there are also provisions in here that any disputes shall be decided by mediation rather than litigation.
Okay. So we're not litigating by going to the DCA, are we?
No, I certainly think... I'm not sure what the DCA can ultimately do for you other than maybe exert some... I mean, I don't know that they have any way to... force any information out of
right.
the borough. It would be a manner of exerting pressure. You know, certainly we can make demands and write letters and indicate that steps will be taken.
I think they're going to come through.
Yeah, I think so.
You're very optimistic.
Yes, I am.
They
I think they're going to come through with the numbers.
Yeah, but my point is ongoing. Every month, there's just it's not a settling agreement. That's all. Maybe I'm overreacting. I don't think so. I think there has to be. Maybe they could put some officers here for part of the day. There has to be some kind of community acceptance of what's going on, and it doesn't seem to be.
Like dedicated to the borough, are you talking? Like dedication to the borough, a certain amount of officers?
Well, I'm not, because they just give us the data. They just feed us the data.
They sit in one another parking lot most of the day, every day.
No, that's my point. We can all do little examples of what we see wrong. That's not, we can all do that all day long. But I still want to see the numbers. I want to know if we as citizens have nothing to complain about, then it's a PR problem, not a budget problem.
The reports we do get, Ms. Blanchard, from the police department, are they posted on the website?
They're part of the public packet that goes out.
Okay.
So they're within the packet.
Okay.
You can certainly post them separately. It
would be very nice if I wasn't going to complain. It would be very nice if everybody knew, wow, we had...
Can we work with the police to amend those reports to get more information?
Sure.
Maybe it's too, the category is too broad.
What more information do you want?
Well, like you were saying, the number of parking tickets issued in
overnight.
That's in there.
I think it's just moving violations.
Right, it's moving violations, criminal acts.
So I think he's looking for more specific.
Yeah.
I'd like the whole public to know that their $2 million is having reaction.
Right. Okay. Anyone else from the audience?
Yes, find out if they can break
it down. Break it down even more.
Right.
And do you want the report separate on the website?
Put them separate on the website.
That would be a good idea.
I would second the website. We did more parking this month, and, you know, make a little score of it. Show people that there is a improvement, whether it's there or not. I can't judge.
Seeing as there's no one else from the audience, I would accept a motion to close the audience portion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Mayor,
should we go and
make a motion to visit DCA pending receiving any information from the township if they don't come through in time or not? We're giving them until April 3rd, our April 3rd meeting, to put that in. We could make that motion at that point should we not have it.
Sure.
As opposed to... and if, when, there kind of thing.
Okay.
Mrs. Weigley, did you want to make a motion to put the police reports separately on the website?
Okay, I'll make that motion.
I'll second that motion. Okay. Right. Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
So probably even put them under, there's a police, I'm pretty sure there's a police thumbnail.
Departments, I think?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Rice. We passed over you last time. Since you weren't here, we'll give you the floor now.
I apologize. I forgot about the time thing. Good evening, everyone. Ray Rice, appearing on behalf of Jade Washington. This appearance tonight is actually with a follow-up in regards to my appearance before the committee in December with respect to my acquiring the PNC property, which I've now closed title on. And what I wanted to do tonight is kind of give you an update where I'm at. I also wanted to request something in the municipality. So I closed a little bit earlier this month on the PNC Bank site. I now also have reached an agreement with the former St. Cloud site owned by Mr. Van Velhuizen. And I had been working on the Krauser site. Unfortunately, it appears at this point that somebody else is the contract purchaser of that. That may change, but that's the latest on that. But specifically what I wanted to talk to the borough about tonight is, as you remember in December when I came to you, I also am the developer of Washington Square. And one of the considerations that I was asking the council to consider is that we have a co-obligation that's located on that site. And my proposal at that time was instead to relocate the co-obligation to the downtown area in order to give me some predictability with respect to the Washington Square site. Subsequently, and just recently, and I think Ms. Copen will confirm this for you, the courts have recently ruled that Governor Christie's abolishment of COA was actually not allowed. I believe right now my understanding is, based on the information I've gotten, that in fact COA is back in existence for the moment.
For the moment.
Yes.
It's under review for appeal.
Right.
They're appealing, yeah.
And, you know, what the outcome of that's going to be at this point, you know, frankly, I don't think any of us, as we sit here today now, something ultimately will come out with respect to that. Last week, I did appear at the Planning Board of Council, and with respect to the COA that's on site there, it's now our intention to go ahead and reconfigure the COA with respect to design and actually create the lots that would be necessary to allow for the COA to actually occur, to the extent that we get some resolution on that. However, I still am interested in the project in the downtown. I'd like to go forward. I've reviewed your redevelopment plan, and one of the things I'd like to actually inquire of the council tonight is you have a municipal parking lot on Lincoln Avenue. And my question to you tonight is, actually I have two questions. One is, since we are in a redevelopment area, and the one thing I couldn't determine in reviewing your redevelopment plan for the downtown is whether or not the borough ever got to the point where it actually created a redevelopment council. Okay. So what? Just to be clear on this, and maybe somebody else can, because I've been unable to determine in reading through your plan, and I haven't found anything online that would indicate that actually happened. You have a redevelopment district within the downtown. There's certain criteria with respect to design, et cetera, and I understand all that. There's a pilot program that's actually in existence. But is it the borough's intention to actually view this as a land use application or a redevelopment application?
As far as your building on the old PNC property and the old St.
Well, yeah, yes. And potentially the municipal lot, because I would actually be interested in acquiring that lot.
Which lot are you talking about?
The one on Lincoln Avenue.
The small lot?
No, the one behind the Krausers.
Yeah, that's the small lot. It's got, what is that, about 15, 20 spaces in it?
Yeah, probably a little bit more than that.
Okay.
But, I mean, just my general observation is that the lot's in somewhat of a disrepair. Mm-hmm. And I've looked at it at all hours of the day. I'm not seeing a particularly significant usage associated with that lot. And, you know, I guess the good thing is that with the PNC property, the Van Veldhuizen property, and this one, I have a lot of parking, and I can work to create parking. But given the opportunity, I'd also be interested in redeveloping that site also. And that, and
how much of that site?
The whole thing.
I have a question for you, Ray.
Yes.
If I could. What's the difference between the redevelopment and yeah?
Well, if you're familiar with redevelopment ordinances, actually how the process can go if you're in a redevelopment zone, there's certain criteria that's associated with that. You actually end up with a designated redeveloper. You enter into a redevelopment agreement. The redevelopment authority actually has certain powers normally that a land use board wouldn't happen. Also, how the taxes are actually allocated out of the site for a certain period of years.
But doesn't that fall under the planning board also?
No. I mean, no, you can do it right before a redevelopment council.
If we have one.
Yeah. If you have one.
So without one, you'd go before the planning board.
That's 100% correct. Yeah. So to the extent you don't have one, which I've now found out that you don't, I guess the question is tonight, because I am moving forward on planning, and you know I've done some preliminary plans, but to the extent that the borough may be interested in selling that lot or some type of a long-term land lease, I would certainly be interested in doing that.
Okay, that's something I think we can talk about in the future. And as far as your other question goes, yeah, I think it's planning board type of thing that you would have to go for.
Right, but I think the thing, Mayor, is that if I'm going to do something over there, once I start that planning process...
You don't want to do it three times.
Well, it's not only doing it three times, but there's an efficiency associated with knowing the landmass that you have right up front, and that's going to actually probably impact on what I would do on the other two. And I think you'd end up with, personally, at the end of the day, with better continuity, because I'd be doing three things at once versus doing two, come back.
Oh, okay. So you're looking to acquire the lot before you really get into the
yep.
planning type of thing.
Then my suggestion, Mr. Mayor, would be to have the tax assessor go out there and take a look at it, along, you know, with the engineer to find out if you can find dimensions and all that other stuff, the size, and give an estimated value of the property.
I like the...
Like the process we did for the other property.
Right.
I like the idea of setting up a redevelopment committee of council. This would maybe be the efficient method to go forward with this type of thing, and then the council can certainly vote on this thing, because we have very little contact right now with the planning board as it is. And, you know, the council needs to, you know, be informed. This would be, you know, more streamlined, I think, and to, you know, everyone on the council, so, you know, I think...
Let's stick with Mr. Rice's development. At this point, we can talk about that afterwards.
Can I ask one?
You have a liaison right now, yeah.
But, you know, I think one of the things that everybody would be concerned about is the loss of parking spaces.
Yeah, wouldn't it have to be, is that part of the redevelopment, like we did with Gibson's, where that has to be allocated and parking spaces?
I just want to comment about...
So it's not, the Lincoln Avenue parking lot is not in that redevelopment plan?
It's part, it is in the redevelopment plan, but what they have shown in the redevelopment plan is office buildings.
Yes. Yeah.
Professional building.
And, you know, any building has its own requirement for parking spaces that must be provided, as Mr. Rice knows.
Right. But see, the good news on that is the configuration of the PNC building is such that I actually right now have a significant amount of parking behind me.
That would give you an L-shaped area, would it?
That would be one way of describing it. It's a...
You have the two facing...
A rectangular lot in with a leg that goes out to Lincoln.
Okay. Ms. Cerami, you had something you wanted to say about the parking there?
Yes, I would just hope that we wouldn't make any hasty decisions without analyzing parking both current and for future. It's really the only public parking lot at that end of town. I know that the one on Broad Street is packed every single day. It is a very small lot. I know that currently the one behind Crassus is absolutely underutilized. I also know that the investment that Mr. Rice is proposing to put into our town is a significant one, and that we should support him as well. So I guess what I'm kind of suggesting is that we might look at an alternative solution that could afford service to both his development and the public as well, such as how we came up with the very innovative solution with Mr. Hopkins.
Well, that's why, Mr. Mayor.
Torres?
Yeah. I really think that this is why I think it's a good idea to have this redevelopment committee set up, and it could certainly have the bid, would you be a member? I mean, we can have, you know, a committee set up just for this purpose, to review this parking situation.
Well, in the
and
committee, how about if you review the ordinances for that and get all of that together and make a proposal to us?
Well, that would be fine. And then at the next meeting, I propose that I'll bring up the motion then, if we don't want to vote on it tonight, for the this particular committee.
Yeah, see what it entails. I'll get a report on that, and we can move forward from there.
And Robert, take into effect, you also have three people who are at the planning board meeting.
Absolutely, right.
Scott, we have a liaison, and we also have Christine there, too.
And how often, do these people actually report to the council as to what the plans are? That's my problem.
There's been nothing to report.
Well,
really.
Okay. Right. So that's what I'm saying.
Right here for a minute. That would be my suggestion, is that we have our people go out there and take care of, you know, the evaluation of it. And
would you like to make that a motion?
Yeah.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. You have what it is.
I guess.
Thank you for your investment, Mr. Rice, in our town.
Okay. Well, I'm
how long this is going to take for you to... present plans to the planning board.
I'm sorry?
You know, with the site plans, you're going to get down to preliminary plans that you're going to present to the planning board then?
Well, no. I mean, my own personal opinion actually would be to go before redevelopment council, because it'll be quicker for me.
If we have one.
Yes. Okay. And
I'll be looking into that.
I think you got more latitude associated with that. And it's not, you know, one of the things that, you know, people get nervous about, because I've experienced this in Hackettstown with the job I have over there and another one, is they're always wondering what it is that you're going to do, how you're going to change the town, and it's the unpredictability. What I can tell you with respect to the parking situation, I actually think you all right now have a lot of parking. It's maybe the problem may be, and this is just my own personal opinion.
I laugh because our studies have said we have a lot of parking, but all the business owners say we need more parking, so.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a location, really.
Yeah, and so, you know, the trick is, I think that the parking on Lincoln is not in the best position. However, to the extent that I was able to develop the Lincoln Avenue site, the other two pieces, and then what's going on behind my property, mm-hmm. or that reconfigured landmass, I think you end up with more insufficient parking.
Okay. So, Mr. Hopkins, you have a comment?
So, Ray, basically, you were talking about swapping out that, redeveloping that Lincoln Avenue site for a little more.
Yeah, I mean, that's one avenue. You know, I'm not going to, you know, until I honestly know whether or not there's a potential to have this Lincoln Avenue site where I would actually plan and then I would know parking criteria and all that. Because in addition, and somebody just mentioned it, there's a Lincoln Avenue site and then there's a rectangular piece that goes out to Broad Street, is that what it is?
Broad,
okay.
Yeah.
That has parking in there also.
Not just you, but actually that piece that Ray is talking about, you know, from experience of cutting down that way to avoid, like, the south light right there, you're lucky if you see three or four cars in that lot, other than the abandoned cars that are left there.
It's very underutilized.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it really isn't. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I know some of the residents. But it is packed over by, you know, over the Broad Street
right.
end of that lot is packed, you know. But,
right. But I'm not talking about that lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any other discussion on Mr. Higgins' motion? Mr. Turner, you have something.
Yeah, the planning board has a technical review committee.
Correct.
So yeah. That would actually do the same function as a redevelopment council. And
sure.
we can invite the bid to sit in on that.
No, then there's the answer right there.
Well, that's not the answer.
Well, yeah, so there's
the
a distinction now.
They only meet once a month and plan, but they have another schedule.
No,
so this could delay.
The subcommittee can meet more often.
Right,
that
so that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. That's the difference is redevelopment committee.
That
committee
said they have a separate schedule.
Yeah, the technical review committee just meets as necessary.
Okay.
Because what we do is we review the preliminary documentation to make sure that it's acceptable to bring before the planning board in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole idea. It's an effort to streamline stuff. And
okay.
So, you know, it takes into consideration the master plan.
And you report to the council or the planning board?
The planning board.
I know, that's what I thought. Okay.
Well, there's a reason why there's a separation of powers here.
There is.
You know, there's a reason why there's a separation of the council, and even the separation between the planning board and the Board of Adjustments, where we are the land ordinance board, whereas the Board of Adjustments is the enforcing arm of that.
No, you're supposed to be the design arm of it, as opposed to...
Well, I don't think we need to get into
okay.
a technical
right.
discussion.
I mean, that's
planning board rules and
regulations
here.
We can have this.
We have a motion on the floor. I'm sorry, what was your comment, Mr. Higgins?
When do you think we can have this? By the next meeting?
From the inspector?
Yes.
And the engineer?
Yeah.
How about we try?
How about he comes out at the same time and checks Mr. Mahoney's property?
Yeah.
Here.
I'm
here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he doesn't
right
charge us twice.
Okay. Okay.
I'm just saying.
I can't.
We'll try for April 3rd. If not,
okay,
we'll go for the 17th.
Okay.
We have the motion on the floor. Is there any other council discussion? Mrs. Copeland, you have something.
I do. Just have one comment in that if the council would determine to go forward with any lease, you understand it would have to be passed by ordinance and put out to bid
the
same way.
Right,
okay.
Which is the other reason that I was going
to
touch
that
on
there.
That is that I want redevelopment council.
The same way.
Yeah, a redevelopment council. Because, see, if you have a redevelopment
so
committee,
you
actually do not have to do a RFP on it.
Okay.
I'm not, I would have to take a look at that.
Yeah, you can check it.
Okay. All right, any other discussion on Mr. Higgins' motion? All in favor?
Okay.
Any opposed?
Thank you very much.
Any abstentions?
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank
and
you.
I know tag on it.
Thank you, Ray.
What's that?
Tag on it.
Oh, okay.
So
thank you.
Have a good night.
You too.
Okay, we have no ordinances tonight. That brings us to our reports.
We must be receiving file.
Second. Okay, is there any discussion on any of the reports? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Committee reports. Mr. Valentine, manager of search committee.
It's going good. We actually did our first round of phone interviews. We started them, and they went away really well. Looking forward to the next one. We have about, so far, I think it was like 38 resumes come in, about 8 people that were considered good material. We sent out questions. I think we only got 5 sets back. And we have 4 phone interviews set up, 2 that we've done so far. They've been done really good.
Mr. Mayor, if I could interrupt while you talk. You know, going back to the way that the interviews were done at the last round,
okay,
is that everybody got a copy of the resumes that came in, and they were graded 1 through 5. That was all part of the grading system. And then it was to the committee that went. Remember?
Only the committee members received the resumes.
No.
No.
Maybe I was on the committee. Maybe that's why I got it.
Right, because the only people who graded were the committee members.
Could be. I know I got one. Well, did anybody else get one?
No,
you are here. Well, so you don't have one.
Never mind.
Okay.
The move subject.
All right, we have no old business. Next, we have the introduction of the 2012 municipal budget with resolution 57-2012.
So moved. Second.
Stuff getting thrown all over.
Poltergeist.
All right, is there any discussion?
Well, yes, there is.
Okay, Mr. Higgins.
With a caveat that we do get the information that we're requiring for the police budget. And just so the entire audience knows, our CFO is here to explain the tax impact on this budget, if you would.
I am. All
how much more are we paying in taxes than we did last year?
We're not going to pay any more in taxes.
What did you say?
Wow.
Zero.
No increase.
Excellent.
That's the true thing this time?
Oh, yeah. I'm not making that same comment this year.
The tax rate last year was $1.43, and this is $1.449. But the overall taxes in us in the library last year was $5,562,000, and this year is $5,569,000. So it's down $2,700.
Yes.
The budget as a whole is down.
Yes. And it's going to be
tax, not this budget.
It's
tax.
Oh, okay. Kevin's looking like he wants to pay a little more this year,
Dad.
You're already going to give it up. I think I'll break the 50.
And that right now is
we can't even vote.
Well, excuse me, Kevin. We'll see if we can rectify that.
That's with the police budget the way it is right now. So when we get those numbers, it'll actually go down further, hopefully.
Hopefully. Okay.
And the budget can be amended.
Right.
And when will the public hearing
be? Well, you'll find that out after we do this.
Yeah,
then she does that.
There's no 28 days.
Oh.
So the 7th public is a public hearing. Adoption. If there is amendments that require another public hearing, then, postable. But right now, budget, item 17 is public hearing and adoption.
So did we want to have another budget workshop or add budget to the next meeting so that Councilman Jewell and Councilman Torres can offer their suggestions for reductions? Because you weren't at the last budget workshop, and I know both of you had ideas, places that you wanted to cut.
We shouldn't discuss the budget at the public meeting between the introduction and 28 days because the law says you can't have public hearings on the budget, and if you discuss it, it's appear as a public hearing.
Right. So how do they go about making the amendments that they want
to
recommend?
It would have to be a budget workshop.
You email me your suggestions. I'll put them in the format. I'll email it to you. You know, I get your consensus, and if that's what it is, then,
I didn't think we were asked to do that, though. We can't do consensus like that.
That is kind of considered voting by email.
I'll put them in the resolution format and email it to you, and then if you agree with it, then on April 17th, when we have the public hearing, then we can either
ask
them or not.
That's without a
question. The more you get emailed by,
tomorrow. The ASAP.
I can do it tomorrow. No problem.
Time in April 12th.
Okay.
Okay. I just wanted to give them both an opportunity
to
find ways to save more money.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Any other discussion?
The budget, the interview budget, that is reductions or additions.
No, to the resolution, but instead of discussing it,
doing
it here, and I'll put it in the resolution format that will be all presented at once.
Okay. So it would be done at a...
We're going to add our ideas, give them to her, but she's going to bring it up in public.
So it'll be a public meeting, right away, right?
Right. We're not voting via email. We're just giving her our ideas, and she's going to bring it up in public.
So that motion's on the floor, right?
Yes, we have the motion on the floor for the introduction of the budget. Is there any other comments or discussion? Roll call, please.
Hagan?
Thank you, Natasha.
Sorry, everybody else?
Yeah, thank you, Natasha. Torres says yes, too.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Jewel?
Thank you, Natasha, and our staff.
Glaber?
Yes, I thanked everyone before, but I'll thank them again.
You can't give enough thanks.
Thanks are free.
Compliments are free.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Thanks.
No, it's not an ordinance.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Okay, yeah, that's right, it's not. Okay, we have...
So, but can you just announce that, so it is part of the public...
Sure, the public hearing for the introduction or the adoption and public hearing of the budget, the municipal budget for 2012, will be April 17th, 7 o'clock, here.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you, Christine.
All right, we have a... On some new business, an application for a bingo raffle from the Washington Women's Club.
So moved.
Second. Right, everything is in order?
Yes.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Next we have Resolution 58-2012, resolution for an interlocal agreement with the Pollution Control and Finance Authority for bulky waste.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Yeah, did the attorney look at the agreement? It's the same agreement we've entered with them for 10 years. So the answer is no.
And what it does, it just allows our citizens to use the dump.
Okay.
At a set price for a year.
Right.
Exactly.
At the standard county rates.
Is there more comments?
If you would like.
They're in the paper a lot, aren't they?
They've been in the paper off and on, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed?
Me.
Any abstentions?
Everybody straightened it out.
How about if we do 59-60 together?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on Resolutions 59 and 60, which are refund of overpayment on property taxes?
I have one question for the council. Being that 59-2012, their addresses are they're within my area where I live, what's the constrictions on that? Is it 200 feet, or I can still vote?
I personally don't think you have any...
There's no conflict?
Any conflict.
Okay.
Yeah,
you
have no financial interest in it.
Right,
it's
your
property.
Yeah.
Roll call, please.
Higgins?
Sure.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Jewel?
Yes.
Glaber?
Yes.
Let's do 61 and 62 together. You know what? No, never mind. Let's do those separately. Oh, I see. Let's do 61.
Yes.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Higgins?
Sure.
Jewel?
Yes.
Glaber?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Okay, 62-2012.
So moved. Second.
Yeah. Okay, any discussion on that one? Roll call on that, please.
Higgins?
Sure.
Jewel?
Yes.
Glaber?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes. 63-2012. Releasing of escrow.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on that one? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Aye.
64-2012.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on this?
Any questions? I'm the one that asked Christine to put it in based on what I read in the newspaper. From
okay, that's what's going to be my question. Where did this come from?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think it's something that we should do in support of, in the hopes that
it works.
It works.
For sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good job, Steve.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you.
Yeah. The part I saw that I liked about it was the country club fees. That's what stuck out in my mind. That they're paying for. Any other discussion on this? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? 65?
So moved.
Second. Okay, any discussion on that? It's money, it's a roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Joel?
Yes.
Leyva?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes. Okay, 66, 2012, awarding a bid for the Beethoven Avenue roadway project.
So moved.
Second. Okay, is there any discussion on that?
Yep.
Mr. Higgins?
Okay, was that designed already? Was the engineering design done on that already?
Yes.
Yeah. We saw, yeah.
It was?
It was done prior to...
We put it out to bid once before.
Oh, wait a second. I thought we got 150,000. It was
140,000.
And we had discussion about the engineering work. This is for 119,000, right?
It's 117, I thought.
No, 119,000.
Sorry, 119,000.
My question is, I would like to see where we paid for the engineering for this to be done already. Because we had a discussion that this is coming in as a grant,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't know, the same discussion that we had with Green Street, what the engineering cost going to be. And is it coming out of this?
The engineering cost will come out of the grant money, and at the next meeting I'm going to have Andrew prepare a scope of services.
Well, can we wait to do this then until after we get this, not to exceed?
You can, yes. You have 60 days to award
it. Okay, well, then that would be my... I would make a motion that we table this until the next meeting.
That's a good idea.
Until we get the...
I'll second that motion.
Don't we have a motion already?
We do, yes.
We do have a motion.
Yeah, we do have a motion already.
Did I make that motion?
No. Yes.
No,
it's on then.
So you want to wait till we get the report? So yes,
I think that's going to be a good idea too.
Okay, the motion's withdrawn. Who seconded?
I did. I withdraw myself.
Okay. All right, and we'll accept the motion to table.
Okay. Until the next meeting, until we get the engineer's scope of work, not to exceed.
I'll second that motion.
Okay.
Already seconded.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? We have one on our desk tonight, Resolution 67, 2012, appointing Gary Pahorley to the Shade Tree Commission.
So moved. Second.
Is there any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Our vouchers.
I move to pay the vouchers.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on any of the vouchers? Hearing none, may I have a roll call, please?
Valentine?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes, with the exception of abstaining of anything that has to do with Fennel.
Leyva?
Yes, abstaining from Fennel.
Joel?
Yes, the exception of the fire department and rescue squads.
McDonald?
Please.
Yes. Ms. Blanchard, what do you have on your agenda for us for the future?
I will reach out to the engineer to go to Mr. Mahoney's property on Flower Avenue, prepare a report for council, and send a copy to Mr. Mahoney and Mr. Mello. Alex Bacco will bring his year's worth of water bills in for a potential reduction from two EDUs to one. I will ask the police department for more information on their monthly police reports. Place the police reports on the website in a more visible place. Reach out to the police department CFO to get the numbers we asked for by April 3rd. I'll also reach out to the assessor for the valuation of the Lincoln Avenue parking lot.
At the same time, he's out for Mr. Murray.
For Flower Avenue.
Yeah, so we don't have to pay it twice.
Council remarks. Mr. Jewell.
I'd like to thank Louis Derita for his service again. I'm sorry to see him go. The Shade Tree Commission. Don't forget about the Beef Steak Dinner, April 21st, the Firehouse, Fire Department Fundraiser. Tickets are $40 per person. There's mediums and all-you-can-eat beefsteak and drink. Also, excellent job on the budget on everybody's part. It's excellent to see. Zero increase, which is great so far. And I just want to see if we can get some more information about this oil spill happening on Broad Street. I know some of our services were required DPW, and to see, you know, make sure those costs be paid. I'm sure some kind of insurance involved with that. I don't know on what level that would include.
DEP handle most of the investigation.
Yeah.
You read that in your report. Yeah. I don't know if we can recoup any costs.
I mean, I don't know if the landowner would you can recoup costs from the landowner, the insurance, homeowner's insurance, the property insurance.
I don't know the facts of the situation.
There was a residence on Belvedere Avenue. It leaked, I believe it was fuel oil. It got into the creek. It cost the borough some money in that the road department was called out to deal with it.
Quite an extensive operation, I guess they had going for quite a while, a couple of days, weeks.
Was the fire department involved in that?
Yeah, they were.
The fire department.
So was it an underground storage tank leak?
Don't know the specifics of the whole, okay. I know it was on Broad Street. That's all I
was told. We don't know if it was underground or if it came from a basement tank.
Okay.
I'm just looking for, should we meet the cost of that, you know, that you know, what our resources being used?
There's that possibility. There are lawsuits all the time certain costs in connection with above and underground tanks. So I would say that we should get the numbers together as far as what the borough's costs were. And I think we could forward a letter to the affected property owner.
Okay.
Maybe that their insurance carrier may be willing to take on those costs. But you know, determination.
So it's an idea. Maybe.
Yeah, no, that's certainly a good idea.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else, sir? Mr. Higgins.
Yeah, a couple of things. And I'm glad that Natasha's still here. BASF is planning to leave in the near future.
2014 or 15.
Okay. Right now, they pay a lot of money for the sewer. They also pay even a lot more money for reserve capacity. So, if they leave, what happens to that, and how is that going to affect the sewer budget? And, I mean, we need to get this in line.
I don't know, maybe it's going to be vacant, or somebody else is going to take it.
I think they just plan on leaving.
They're going to try it.
They're moving it.
What happens to the property is still up in the air.
I mean, it's still their property, so as far as tax is concerned, they own the property and they have to pay for it. Sewer, obviously
the
usage are going to drop tremendously.
So what about the reserve capacity that they pay for? Can we do that so that we're prepared and we don't go, oops, when the budget comes up?
I would think that's a commodity that they could actually sell should they find a buyer for it, too.
Well, actually, they pay for reserve capacity, so with, you know, I mean, with,
that's what I mean,
with
the reserve.
With the ongoing construction, you know, if people want to redevelop and things like that, which would be nice. I mean, we could take that extra capacity that they're paying for. If they're not going to use it, we could bring it out and we could...
Yeah, if they just relinquish it. But I believe they also could sell it as a commodity type of thing, too.
I don't know if they can sell it because they have to pay for it every year.
I don't know. Do they actually own that, though?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's
I think they
can
sell
it.
Yeah.
To sell it,
I don't think
no,
so.
We have an agreement with them where they pay for the capacity, but
I have to take a look at it.
Okay, that's something that's not too far off. And you know, when we talk about our surplus and our sewer budget,
sounds like
we don't need shell shock. You know,
whether they could tap on.
Right,
I think it might come back.
What else do you have, Mr. Higgins?
I talked to Christine about this today too. The Route 31 there, across from the diner, where they got it all dug up the bridge. For the last 3 weeks to a month, there has been no activity on that thing whatsoever. I think that we need...
By the state of New Jersey, who's doing the construction there.
Well, they have a contractor to do it. But I don't know what the problem is, the issue. It can't be weather.
They did say 6 to 12 months, Dave.
It doesn't matter.
You know?
It doesn't matter.
And the asphalt plants are closed until I think people were...
now they're open.
You know, now they're open, so...
None.
So they shouldn't... Yeah. You would know that
one is open.
Yeah.
Okay. My point to this is, though, that I would like to send a letter to the Department of Transportation inquiring as to the reason why, or maybe have Christine call or something, get some information as to why the activity has
very
slowed to
contact,
a stop.
Contact our liaison for that.
Yeah, I have his name.
Yeah.
You
do?
Yes,
Dad.
I do.
And then,
yeah, they pulled the machine.
His or hers?
His.
Okay, that's the contractor's contact?
No, it's the DOT's liaison to the municipality.
I forget her name, but it was a woman for the longest time.
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
The gentleman that dealt with Rich and I.
Yeah, I don't think he's particularly our liaison. Well, maybe she's in a different capacity.
On this project, it is the gentleman.
Okay, maybe it's just on that project and she's for everything else. Okay.
Okay, but if we could get some information as to because it is affecting the
And businesses downtown, too.
Yes.
And homeowners.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else, Mr. Higgins?
Yeah, there's an Easter egg hunt this year. This year. May.
Good.
This month at the park. Is it this month?
Yeah. Our manager already put it on the bulletin board.
It's the last weekend, I think. The last Friday.
Right.
In the month.
I'll take it. In number one, getting this budget taken care of in a manner where we actually are probably going to be saving money on our taxes, or at least breaking even. And I would also like to thank our whole council, because our council seems to be working and moving things now forward in a better way than I've seen previously. So, my thanks go out, especially, to these two individuals and the rest of the council. So that's basically my remarks for tonight.
Okay. Mrs. Gleaver.
Okay. I'm glad Natasha's still here also. I have a question, too. Mr. Cushing who mentioned it, and I've been looking into it, and I know Brick Township does it. What's involved in us moving our tax sale from November up to April so we can get the anticipated revenues in the budget early as compared to later?
Okay. Just because you move your tax sale doesn't mean you're going to put any more revenue in the budget, because you're selling property that's a last year property, and you can't anticipate it in the budget. I mean, what you're trying to do is sell them so you know exactly how much you made so you can put it in the budget.
Right, and that's what these other towns do.
What you're losing is an 18% interest. So as you getting your receipt from delinquent number might be a little bit higher. What you're giving up is interest in delinquent taxes, which is also a substantial number.
Okay.
So it's not a win-win situation. I mean, most of the towns that...
I was wondering why towns are changing to that one.
They push it to December, because then you get 18% interest on investment, and in today's market, you can't get it anywhere else.
Well, that 18% is for anything over 1,500,
over
correct? Over 1,500. Now, under that, it's 8%, correct?
Correct, but it's
okay.
Still pretty high compared to your bank at 0.10.
And also does
if you're lucky.
Make a difference as to the makeup of our taxpayers, so that, because if we have anticipation of a certain amount of delinquencies, then we can budget towards that particular thing, so... This way, we can collect interest, maybe weigh it out, and that might be the better way. So that's probably why, it's a good way.
Okay.
If you choose to have it in February, nothing stops you from having it in February.
Okay. No, but that's exactly the information I wanted to know. Hats off to everyone for the zero increase in the municipal budget. But just so everyone's aware, that doesn't mean your taxes aren't going to go up, because we don't know what the county taxes are going to be and the school budgets are going to be. So taxes might still go up, but at least the municipal budget did not go up. And then also, I just was seeking almost like council's input I'm speaking for myself, but it's in regards to the code book committee, what you might think is the better thing to do when we have differences. Like, for example, now you have asked the code book committee to look at this redevelopment council thing and the zoning. I mean, that again, I think the code book committee is becoming something that I never intended it to be last year. But I find in certain instances, at the end of this thing, we were going to give you a list of codes that we feel should be repealed or should be amended based on changes that we got from the departments, etc. But sometimes I'm finding that we're not in agreement. So do you want us to still provide you with a list of everything that we were considering, or, and even sometimes it might be a two to one vote, and that one vote is still very adamant about doing something. And does it mean that one vote might be the right way to do it? You know what I'm saying?
I think that you should present it the way that you're doing with the opposition or concurrence, and just say, this is how it came out. 2-1 here, or it was unanimous for this, or it was
you know.
These are the ones that were suggested and approved. These were the ones that were suggested and failed.
And then, yes.
Okay.
And then it comes to the entire council.
Okay, anything else, Mrs. Lee? Okay. In addition to those who have already been thanked for their work on the budget, you know, we are remiss in not thanking Mr. Phelan for his efforts and our auditor, Tom Ferry, because they have also been very involved in the budget process. And I think they are deserving of our thanks and recognition also. Also, we have I've started Mayor McDonald's book club this year. You may remember that last year we had the Mayor's Book Club, which was done with the League of Municipalities. I was looking to continue that on in some way, shape, or form, and I spoke with the head of Investor Savings Bank, who was looking to get more involved in the community. He said he would be willing to donate $1,000 to the schools for their libraries, both classroom and overall. And that has gone forward. It has been introduced to the schools, and they are going forward with it right now. Mayor Arthur Ondish of Mount Arlington, who is now the league president, has asked me to write an article on it because he was involved in the original book club and thinks it's fantastic that I'm continuing it forward, and I will be writing that article. Perhaps in the June time frame, you may see that in the league magazine. And that's all I have. I will accept the motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Okay, any discussion? All in favor? Aye.